Welcome to Wrestling Inside the Ropes with James Stewart.
I'm the best. I'm the best in the world. I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company, and I've been vilified and hated since that day.
And Mike Sarge Riley.
I don't know if you realize it or not, but you're trespassing on private property. When you walk through here, through these ropes, you're in my yard. Bad things happen in my yard.
Wrestling Inside the Ropes.
Mike Riley, I'm going to open with a very simple question to you. What did Charlotte Flair do wrong? Charlotte was given an opportunity. Charlotte won her match to get her championship opportunity at SummerSlam. And then Charlotte won the championship clean in the middle. So just in case you didn't hear the question the first time, I will ask it again. What did Charlotte Flair do wrong?
What did Charlotte Flair do wrong? She won clean in the middle. That was your question, right? I'm just comprehending that one more time.
What did Charlotte Flair do wrong?
Yeah. You know, Jimmy, she did absolutely nothing wrong. In fact, Jimmy, it was the production team that did many things wrong. Charlotte did what she had to do. She was told what she had to do. She went out there, became a seven-time women's champion. All the credit in the world to her talent. But here is where the production team failed at SummerSlam. A chance for a double turn, which is a very difficult thing to do, and they failed. That's where Charlotte should have turned heel, and Becky easily could have turned face, because you heard the crowd, Jimmy, in Brooklyn. You heard when Becky Lynch walked out of there, you deserved it. You deserved it. That was a prime opportunity for the double turn. The best one I know, I've said it before, Stone Cold and Bret Hart, WrestleMania 13, prime opportunity there, and they threw it out the window.
Oh, so we're breaking kayfabe right off the bat here?
Hey,
I wanted to do the whole Charlotte versus Becky thing, and you just totally blame the production team. Boo.
Oh, you know.
Boo to you.
Well, you know. But
boo to you.
Hey, good for Charlotte. Nothing wrong in my book.
That's a buzzkill. So,
what did she do? I mean, she's a saint to you. She can never do no wrong.
Well, I'll make your kayfabe argument for you. Here's what Charlotte did wrong. She hit natural selection from behind.
Fine. Okay.
And stabbed her friend in the back.
I'm ripping production. Okay.
That's terrible. That's boo. Boo to you. Boo. Boo.
Right. Get out of here.
I have to tell you, I really love this story. Two friends split by jealousy. It's simple. Everybody can invest in it. I love it. Their series of matches are going to be awesome. What Becky Lynch did on SmackDown was she blamed the crowd for things that didn't actually happen at SummerSlam. Mm-hmm. And it's really kind of a bigger issue with the company, is that WWE and your production team want Becky to be something, and the crowd has disagreed with it. In my opinion, Charlotte Flair should be the clear villain in this story.
Yes.
The crowd at SummerSlam and the crowd on SmackDown, they cheered Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch's promo on SmackDown did not reflect that. That is the production team, as you call them, the writers, the producers, whoever decided to give Becky this story, these lines, did not hear the crowd as they should have. WWE could do a better job of listening to its audience, because Becky got cheered. Becky got cheered throughout the whole thing. When Charlotte won, at best it was 50-50, but I think it was closer to 80-20 with boos of Charlotte winning. I took the "you deserve it" chant from the Brooklyn crowd as Charlotte deserved to be beat up by Becky Lynch.
Oh, okay.
That's how I took that.
Okay, see, I took it as Becky deserved the championship, which she did. She did deserve that championship belt. And, you know, again, all the credit in the world to Charlotte Flair, who was fantastic. She's been the seven-time champion, as I said. She's dominated that division.
As she should have.
Well, of course you're going to say that. You would do anything to we'll leave it at that. But anyways, Becky Lynch, though, has been the pure underdog here. And kind of the blue-collar fighter, if you look at it in that situation there. And I think the crowd got behind her. And that's how I took it, that you deserve that championship. You got screwed, Becky. We're standing behind you, and we're going against the production team. So we're on your side, Becky, not Charlotte's.
I'm Charlotte Flair for life. But I will give you an interesting little detail here.
Sure.
Becky Lynch hasn't won a pay-per-view match in 557 days.
What was the last one?
557 days ago.
Okay. All right. So
this is kind of your point, and this is why I think the audience reacted as it did, because I think they were building and building and building towards Becky, and they didn't give them Becky, and that crowd really wanted Becky because they're behind Becky.
You know what it reminded me of a little, Jimmy?
What's that?
The first ever women's championship, WrestleMania 32 in Dallas. Okay, so that was the triple threat.
Oh, when they wanted Sasha Banks to win the championship.
Exactly. And I think the crowd was so behind Sasha Banks. Ric Flair had to get in there, and, you know, he held her back. And that's when Charlotte won, and that was it. That was the beginning of her career, more or less, as a champion.
Well, and I think that was done with purpose, and that was... And this is a bigger picture story with Sasha Banks, is Charlotte needed that win more than either of those two.
Yes.
She needed to be the featured performer in going forward. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why they did it. And Charlotte even wrote in her book, like, how much that victory meant to her career going forward. That stage, that moment, that's what she needed.
Well, you know, it's, again, just I'm comparing it, very similar scenario where I saw it as that for Becky Lynch and the Sasha Banks situation in WrestleMania 32.
So there are two things here for me going forward with this story of Becky and Charlotte. There's no question Becky's going to win the championship, and I think it'll be from Charlotte ultimately at the end of this story, whenever that is, whether it's Hell in a Cell in September or whether it's the Women's Evolution pay-per-view. But Becky's getting the SmackDown Women's Championship. And the main reason why is I still feel like Charlotte is penciled in to fight Ronda Rousey at WrestleMania in New York. So eventually, Charlotte isn't going to need that championship to have that match with Ronda, because I think Charlotte is going to win the Royal Rumble, and then she's going to pick Ronda to fight at WrestleMania. And that'll be for the Raw Women's Championship in New York.
Okay.
The other element that they could do to progress the story, because Becky and Charlotte, they might not need the championship long term to have a feud, but I think it helps. Mm-hmm. Is on SmackDown tonight, they announced Carmella is getting her rematch next week.
Yep.
And in a scenario, Becky Lynch could cost Charlotte the title next week, and that can continue their storyline.
Yep.
I don't think that will happen, but I certainly think it's in play.
Yeah, no, totally. And, you know, we know what there's definitely going to be some sort of interference there. And, you know, I'm with you. It's all signs indicate that they're going to go at it at the Evolution, which I got a few notes about on that there. But, Jimmy, you know, just to back to your point where you said that this is a great storyline with two best friends here.
Oh, it's so simple, Mike. It's so easy. It's such a good story.
Okay, so where did we want to see that before, though? Where did we want to see two best friends feuding before? Where?
I'm not sure. Go.
Raw, Sasha Banks, and Bayley.
Oh, of course.
All right, so it didn't happen there, but now they decided to do it here with Charlotte and Becky. I think they kind of surprised everyone. We all thought it was going to happen inevitably with Sasha and Bayley, even earlier. Obviously, it still hasn't happened yet. It's only a matter of time before that does. But I think they're testing the waters for that situation there, see how this goes for the Becky-Charlotte one. And I'm very excited to see how this feud pans out.
You know, it wouldn't shock me to find out that Charlotte pitched this idea to Creative, and Creative loved it, and because it's a way for Becky to get over more.
Sure. Becky's awesome. You know, she's very talented and underappreciated.
But boo to you for blaming the production team. I wanted to have some fun with that before we went into the serious discussion about the story. Boo, 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 boo.
You always argue everything against me, and you're not even tagging me on Twitter anymore, you jerk.
Yeah. So the other big story, Seth Rollins with Dean Ambrose in his corner won the Intercontinental Championship. Roman Reigns finally beat Brock Lesnar to win the Universal Championship at SummerSlam. And on Raw, WWE ended the show by putting the Shield back together. Mike, how do you feel about the reunion of the Shield?
I'm okay with it. Really am. And this is why we needed the health of Dean Ambrose to get him back there. However, though, I really would not have minded to have seen those three go at it in a triple threat match for the Universal title.
They have time between now and New York.
A ton of time. And again, you could have Dean Ambrose go up against Seth Rollins for the Intercontinental title. That's another possibility right there.
Which is what everybody was craving for, was the Dean Ambrose turn at SummerSlam. I'm glad it didn't happen.
It didn't happen. And again, so much time. Again, that Intercontinental division, it's loaded. It's a really good talent core right there for the IC title on Raw. And you can move guys over from SmackDown if you have to, too. We know that. But it's a really good division, a strong one. So they're taking advantage of that with Dolph Ziggler. And now I'm excited to see what they're going to do Drew McIntyre to. Very, very excited. But I'm cool with the Shield. I'm really fine with that. No issue. This is what the fans enjoyed last year going into the Survivor Series in the fall and so forth. And I think that, you know, that's the next big event, Jimmy. The Survivor Series, a big four of the WWE calendar. So that could be set up for a huge Survivor Series match, the Shield versus someone else. Think about that. The possibilities on that spectrum are endless.
Absolutely. I love the Shield reunion. I loved it last year. I want to quote something from a Twitter person, something named Brad Stoltz. I saw this come across my timeline. He writes, quote, "The ending to Raw was an incredible little bit of story to me. Yep. In their words, the Shield was formed to stop injustice. Braun went back on his word and was going to cash in on a vulnerable champion. That's dishonorable. He deserved what he got." So I thought about that, and I thought, so are the Shield heels, or is Braun the heel? I'm not sure. But this adds to our Becky Lynch Charlotte Flair conversation, and that is, this feels another instance of WWE not listening to the room. Braun is one of the top good guys on Raw, and now he's the villain because the three members of the Shield are beating him up. I saw some people on social media say they heard boos for the Shield. I didn't hear those on TV, but we now have two programs that this is kind of an area of gray. And the fans are reacting one way, but WWE seems to be writing it a different way.
Well, a couple things to question on that. Did they get the boos? And I can't answer this question, but I'm going to question it from the tweet there. Did they get the boos because of one individual there, Roman Reigns? Or did they get the boos because, you know, Braun Strowman has been a face more or less?
He's been their number one good guy for a long time now.
I'm sorry?
He's been their number one good guy. He's been WWE's number one, or I shouldn't say number one, but he's been in the conversation for top good guys for a while now on Raw.
However, is this WWE's way of saying, we wanted Braun to be a heel, and you guys made him a face?
Oh, 100% they wanted Braun to be a heel. That's why they paired him with Roman for a long time.
That's why I'm saying here, now you have the Shield go up against him, you force the boos on the Shield, you make them the, sort of heel, but you want to have them still be the good guy a little bit because you got the Universal Champ there, you got your Intercontinental Champion. Do what you can and try to turn that a little bit. I don't know. Are they trying to do that? It doesn't seem like it's working that way, but maybe they're trying to experiment that.
Based on all the merchandise they just put out for the Shield, they want the Shield to be good guys.
Well, I think so. But I'm
so just, now you're back to 1997, and the promo Vince McMahon said, the good guys versus bad guys is certainly passé. So now we're dealing in shades of gray, which, by the way, I think is better for everybody. Let the fans choose and still sell merchandise.
Totally. And I just Braun is so much better as a good guy. He's been awesome with the Get These Hands, Monster in the Bank. It's really good. And the Shield, though, having them back together, it's a good thing for the company all around.
Yeah, and they're going to make a ton of money. So I want to ask you, what's next for the Universal Championship? On Raw, they teased a Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns match at Hell in a Cell in September. If that's the direction they go, Brock and Roman are both 2-0 in Hell in a Cell. Brock has defeated The Undertaker twice, while Roman Reigns has beat Rusev and Bray Wyatt. The Hell in a Cell match, I feel like they can have a violent classic match, and the crowd wouldn't turn on it. Like, I just don't see the WWE fans turning on a violent match with Hell in a Cell. I don't see it. We talked about Braun Strowman. He is still looming with the briefcase. And in fact, WWE has gone so far to promote Braun Strowman versus Roman Reigns for the October 21st show in Boston. Tickets on sale Wednesday at 10 a.m. If you go VIP, you'll get to say hello to Mike and I. Shameless plug. You also have Kevin Owens in the mix for the Universal Championship. The Shield could always turn on Roman Reigns. I mean, here's the positive out of getting the title off of Brock is we have an active champion.
Yes.
The Brooklyn crowd on Monday really thought that Finn Balor was going to win or Braun Strowman was going to cash in on him. For me, it was great. In some ways, it reminded me of the 80s when Ric Flair or the Honky Tonk Man on any given night was the champion and they could lose it. It's right. Not because Roman Reigns is necessarily a beatable champion. It's more because the fans want to see him lose the Universal Championship. It's really a fascinating situation that the WWE has put themselves in. And as I said, we're in an area of gray right now with right. at least a handful of stories.
Right. And you know what? And finally, for months, Jimmy, as I've been saying, that this championship will be defended at least once a month. And hopefully, you know, maybe as much as once a week on Raw as it should have been. But, you know, there was a situation here for the future of Brock Lesnar. I saw Ringside News said a couple of weeks ago that Lesnar and Vince McMahon did meet about having his future with the WWE, and Lesnar did say he wants to do both WWE and UFC. So I don't think the door has been shut completely on the future of him. I'm not going to go with the Hell in the Cell that's going to happen with he and Roman Reigns. However, we do have plenty of time. And I will say this, though. With that loss from Brock Lesnar to Roman Reigns at SummerSlam, I wouldn't be shocked if those two, if that may have planted the seed for those two to fight again at WrestleMania. Do not be surprised.
No, I think based off of SummerSlam, I think the story that they'll tell there is Braun Strowman distracted Brock Lesnar, and that's the reason why Brock Lesnar lost the Universal Championship is because Braun Strowman was just lurking at ringside waiting to cash in. And I think that they're going with Braun Strowman versus Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania in New York.
Oh, okay.
And that's the beginning of that tease right there.
Well, that very easily could happen. But for the immediate future at the Hell in the Cell, Roman Reigns' next opponent, I mean, he had a good match there with Finn Balor. The Kevin Owens situation, that possibility is right there. Maybe you give a push for a pay-per-view before you go into the Survivor Series, give a push to a guy like Dolph Ziggler, say. That's always up there. But I'm going to go with a guy like Kevin Owens. I think that's a safe bet to go up against Roman Reigns, and that feud begins as early as next week.
So they did have promotional information in the area of Hell in a Cell that it was going to be Roman Reigns versus Kevin Owens. But as we know, card is always subject to change.
Yeah.
You know, I had another point about Roman Reigns, and I don't remember it. So we'll just move forward. And if it comes back to me, it comes back to me.
Yep. I don't think anyone's worried.
I think there was a big non-WWE story. Chris Jericho recently said that he pitched an idea to WWE about having the Intercontinental Champion, of course, his IWGP Intercontinental Championship, against the WWE Intercontinental Champion. And he said it was well received, but he never heard anything back about it. So Chris Jericho versus Seth Rollins, would you dig that? Would you be into that matchup?
Absolutely. I mean, you look at Jericho here. He's regarded as one of the greatest in-ring performers of all time. Seth Rollins, maybe one of the greatest in-ring performers currently on the roster. How do you go up against that? How do you not root against that? Those two going at it in the ring. And we know Jericho, he's been in there as recent as the last year or so. He's still got it, and he can definitely, you know, make a good match out of someone. I would totally dig that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, 100% yes, absolutely. And Jericho's 47 years old. He's got kind of that Undertaker role. He's kind of doing wrestling as a hobby and music as his first love. So we'll see him pop up every once in a while. I guess this kind of goes into a different question is, should WWE be working with New Japan Pro Wrestling, given that New Japan has a relationship with Ring of Honor and they just sold out Madison Square Garden?
Well, if that's the case, if they are going to go down that road there, it'd be kind of similar to what WWE did, well, excuse me, at the time, WWF did in the late 90s with ECW. You know, you kind of work together there. I know they're feeding them money in that situation, but who's to say that they can't kind of begin to squash their own competition, and we know where that led to at the early part of the 2000s. So, I don't know, Jimmy. I'm the kind of guy where I think competition is healthy. I really do. I think just like anything in life, any business, hopefully they don't for the sake of the fans, but I could see it happening. I hope they don't. What do you think?
I think it's interesting that all of a sudden now Jericho is trying to get everywhere and trying to be the ultimate independent wrestler, and I think that's a good thing. It's kind of a little... I feel like if WWE does a deal with New Japan, it's a little Weasley on their part, because it would be the second time that they've done something like this. NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 1, Ring of Honor had been in a long-term relationship with New Japan and right. had, I believe, Jushin Liger was booked for a Ring of Honor show. And wow. Liger changed his booking to do the NXT show and fight, I think it was Tyler Breeze at the time. So it's a little Weasley. If you got an agreement with one company, you got to kind of go with it. If Jericho's off doing this on his own, kudos to Jericho for being able to do that. But I also don't want WWE to own everything.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Like Ring of Honor, New Japan, they do their thing. TNA does their thing. WWE does their thing. And I like the different variety. I like the chocolate. I like the ice. I like the vanilla. I like the strawberry ice cream.
There you go. That's what I'm saying. It's better for the fan.
And this is also why WWE essentially has two brands. They have the main roster brand of Raw and SmackDown, and then they have the NXT, yeah. which NXT is for the adult hardcore fans. Raw and SmackDown is for the person clicking around on his remote.
Jimmy, I was on assignment this past weekend, as you know. And, you know, I have not seen the entire NXT show, but numerous people have reached out to me and all in a total agreement, unanimously saying that NXT is a better product than the main roster.
Because the people reaching out to you are in their 30s.
They're real fans, exactly.
And you know, they're the long-term fans, and that's the brilliance of what WWE did is they are riding two trains. They have John Cena on Monday and Tuesday, and they have CM Punk on, or the CM Punk's not a good name anymore. They have the adult brand Wednesday night on the network and their specials.
And that's what someone said to me too. You know, our age category, same generation as a wrestling fan, and they're like, I cannot stand Raw or SmackDown. I love NXT. Do I cave in and get the network? I'm like, if you want to watch NXT on a weekly basis, you have to get the network. It's your only option, and it's a great opportunity for you. So definitely do it if you are an NXT fan. Don't sleep on that.
You know, allow me a Colin Cowherd national radio take for a moment. It's really the difference between channels 4, 5, 7, and Fox 25. They are going for the narrow person, so they're going to put a variety of stuff on their networks. When you're watching NESN or you're watching NBC Sports Boston, you're getting sports. You're watching VH1. Is VH1 still a thing? MTV, is that still a thing? Well, the goal of the music channels on television is to get the person who wants to hear the songs and to watch the music videos, if that's still a thing. I don't know. I think the last thing I watched on MTV was Catfish, and that's not a music video. But the point is that NXT is for the narrow-casted adult fan, and Monday and Tuesday night is for the broadcast, the global fan, to hopefully stop and get invested in the product.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've used this example privately. I don't remember if I've used this on the podcast or not. So back at Clash of Champions in December, there was somebody who had never been to a wrestling show before, a coworker of ours, and it was her first wrestling show, and she liked it. She enjoyed herself at the event, but she never checked it out Monday or Tuesday night. That is the type of fan that WWE wants, is the person to go for the first time and fall in love with the product. They missed the boat on that. It's not that she didn't have a good time at the event. It's just she never was motivated. They didn't do anything on that show to motivate her to watch Monday or Tuesday night.
Right. And that's where you gotta, you know, hook, line, and sinker them in. And that's where you're right. They let that ship sail, and that's on them. So, boom.
So, speaking of NXT, Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano, they're the NXT version of Steamboat and Flair, or more recently, Kenny Omega and Okada.
Or even better yet, for the purpose of this podcast, Sarge and Jay Stu.
No, I'm way above you.
keep going.
This feud, this Ciampa-Gargano feud, is in the category with those guys. A little bit more violent twist to it. Ciampa retained. He should have. He's the best villain in pro wrestling right now. The finish was brilliant. All three of these fights have been amazing. The record book will show that Ciampa is 2-0 because, of course, the one that happened in New Orleans was unsanctioned, so it doesn't go on the record book. I can't emphasize how much detail they've put into this feud and how they've had stories within stories. It's a massive credit to everybody that's involved in the planning of this long-term story between these two and the detail with the performer and the producers. It's fabulous stuff. It's awesome.
And you were able to attend NXT Lowell last week in front of a sold-out crowd, right?
Yep. Tommaso Ciampa drew the house single-handedly, even though there was a comment made by one of the leads in NXT that actually was Donovan Dijak who drew the house. So I won't fight with that person because he's a lot bigger than I, and he could do some damage to me very easily. But Ciampa and Dijak closed the show in Lowell on Thursday night. I was so happy for both of them because they're both locals, and it was really cool. It was a really cool display that they allowed that to happen.
That's awesome. That's really good.
I am interested to see where they go with Ciampa and Gargano. Ciampa is the evil villain champion, so he shouldn't have any issues going forward. I wonder if Gargano is going to get called up, or if either Ciampa or Gargano are going to be put into a program with Adam Cole. Adam Cole, of course, lost the North American Championship. Maybe an easy way to get to a feud with Adam Cole and one of those two, Ciampa or Gargano, is TakeOver War Games is in Los Angeles Survivor Series weekend, and they could do a three-way War Games. And Undisputed Era can start their chase against Ciampa, or Gargano can get the championship. But either way, Adam Cole versus Ciampa and or Gargano, that's going to be awesome, and that's going to draw a ton of money, I think.
Don't you love the heel character that Ciampa is right now? It's just awesome.
Oh yeah, he's mastered it, and a lot of the stuff that he does on NXT he couldn't do on WWE TV.
No, not right
or
now.
At least I don't think he could. Maybe he could.
Yeah, may have to change a few things, but yeah, it's really good though.
So finally, you have mentioned that you have some thoughts on the Women's Evolution pay per view. I want to start with this, and that is. Over the weekend, there was an uproar about rumored matches and announced matches for the Women's Evolution pay-per-view in October. First of all, it's in October. Calm down. Tickets on sale for the event go on sale this week. So they announced Trish Stratus versus Alexa Bliss, and the internet lost its mind. Apparently, they thought it should have been Sasha Banks, which they're probably right, but Alexa Bliss versus Trish is a little bit more clean cut for what they want to do. Trish would be a good gal, and Alexa would be on the evil side. Makes sense. Sasha Banks is on the good side of things. So in the world of Vince McMahon, he tries to stay away from the quote babyface match, although they've had a few of them on TV. But if you're looking for something that draws, you want the good versus the evil. That's a traditional wrestling thing, even though some of the stuff that we've discussed today is shades of gray. But let me just say this about Sasha Banks. She's over. She doesn't need the championship. And everybody needs to kind of stop overreacting to her body language. She wants to be in a top spot. That's why she got into the business. She wants to be the champion. And just because her body language shows that she's upset, like, we shouldn't be ridiculing her for wanting to be a top star. We're not holding bake sales for her. She's making tons of money. But, like, do we have to read into everybody's body language because the camera caught her with a pouty face? I mean, and for all we know, and I want to give my friend Danielle in New York credit for this because she's the one who said it. Maybe Sasha Banks is in a match with Lita. Or maybe it turns out that it's Sasha versus Bayley in front of a bigger audience.
Yeah, like, that's what I think.
Can we wait and see where Sasha Banks, who Sasha Banks is matched up with before we go start ripping the card?
Right, right. And I think that's where, you know, if we haven't seen the Sasha Bayley situation yet for that turn, when it will happen, like I said, it's inevitable when it does. That's where it's going to be at the Evolution. Those two finally going at it. And you know, there'll probably be some sort of a stipulation there, whether it be a steel cage or, you know, no holds barred or something like that. But you're right. Let it pan out. Let's see what happens. Take one step at a time and just go with the flow.
The other rumored match that was making its way around the social media internet universe was Nikki Bella versus Ronda Rousey.
Yep.
And while I don't necessarily love that match as far as an in-ring match, I do understand why WWE would think that that match would be appealing. Ronda has the UFC crowd. Ronda has the casual viewer. And you know what? Nikki Bella has the E-Network crowd. So there's going to be a lot of eyes on that match if it got announced. And the hardcore fans don't like that because, again, they don't understand that WWE is a global business. I shouldn't say they don't understand it. They don't like the fact that they want that WWE wants more eyes on their product. But if WWE has more eyes on its product, it's good for everybody. Everybody makes more money.
Right.
Money. It's about drawing money. And that's what people forget.
Yep. Bring the dead president out. That's all it's about. And the most important thing.
So while, again, I don't love the match in the ring, it's an attraction to get people to buy the show and hopefully find something on the show that they like so that they keep coming back. I mean, I have felt for a long time that Stephanie versus Ronda should be the main event. And based on Raw, it might be the direction that they're going.
It could happen. You know, and something I thought about too, Jimmy, with the Evolution pay-per-view, the all-women's one, I'm not saying that they weren't going to do this, but I also think at the same time, this is kind of a little pat on the back to the female competition in the WWE, and good for them, what they've been able to do, the way they're, you know, top athletes in the world and how they've just changed everything and gained interest for it. But I also think that they really pushed this pay-per-view because of the situation, what happened in Saudi Arabia, where the women were not allowed to be there. So, in a way, is this a little reward for them to get their own pay-per-view? Yes. I think that this would have happened as early as next year, but they pushed it to this year because of the Saudi Arabia situation. So I think that was happening as early as the spring where the, you know, they got the ball rolling to have it happen this October.
So I think that might be part of it, Mike, but make no mistake, the major reason why the show is happening is because of Ronda Rousey.
Oh, of course.
Rousey is the main attraction to anything women's-wise that they do because Ronda Rousey's success in UFC has led to the WWE really investing in the women's movement.
Jimmy, like even...
But
know,
I
like,
do I do think you have a point where that is part of it. I think Ronda's the bigger part of it, but the situation in Saudi Arabia is also a big part, but it's secondary.
And I'll give you an example too with Ronda Rousey, and I know you've probably heard this too. I got a text message from a friend of mine the other day.
You have no friends.
Shut up. It definitely wasn't you. anyways, a friend of mine who is not a regular watcher of the WWE, but flipping through on Raw last night, this past week, he said to me, wow, Ronda Rousey in the WWE? And he knew who she was from UFC. So your casual sports fan knows who Ronda Rousey is. Now she's in WWE. And like you said, to put her on that platform for the Evolution, that is how the company is capitalizing with her brand.
And that's also why she won the women's championship at SummerSlam. Is in the same way Hulk Hogan comes into WWF in 1983, 84, And really, his return match is against the Iron Sheik for the championship, because Ronda Rousey is going to be the championship flag bearer for the women's division for as long as she's signed under contract. And this goes to the point about business that we had talked about last week, is Ronda Rousey is a big reason why the WWE is getting $2 billion over a five-year period between two television networks. Right. A big reason. Because people know who she are, who she are. People know who she is, and that's the star power. So that's Ronda Rousey, and that's why, and that's to your point, why they're doing this pay per view.
Yep, and you know, we talked about this, could have been in Boston, but it is what it is.
That Boston show, they announced the lineup, and of course, card subject to change. I don't know if you happen to see.
I did.
The lineup for Boston is awesome. It's Strowman versus Roman. It's AJ versus Daniel Bryan versus Samoa Joe versus The Miz. Mm-hmm. And Ronda Rousey's going to be there. More importantly, Charlotte Flair is going to be there, which is exciting.
Yeah, it's going to be a good show. Sunday, October 21st, tickets on sale this week.
Yeah, and if you got an email, you might have gotten a code that you can get tickets on Wednesday at 10 a.m.
Look at that. There you go.
We have our tickets. You're welcome, Mike. We'll be doing VIP. So if you do VIP, you'll get to socialize with us.
You should tell them what's happening earlier in the day, too, Jimmy. Not at the TD Garden, but go ahead.
Oh, Kowloon, Bruce Pritchard show.
Let me pull it up here. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. Tickets 781-233-0077. Ticket office is open between noon and 11 Eastern time. You'll actually talk to a person. You'll give them your credit card information, and you know, you'll go to the Kowloon on October 21st morning, afternoon. You'll have a good time. Take an Uber so that when you drink a lot and you eat a lot, you'll be safe.
Eat a lot. Trust me, those Saugus wings are the best. As of this recording, that is 2 months from today, and that'll be here before you know it. Jimmy, two quick things to pass along to.
Oh, please do.
A little promotion, help out our friends, New England All-Star Wrestling, this Saturday, August 25th. It's at the Starland Sportsplex and Fun Park down in Hanover, Massachusetts. Jake the Snake Roberts, he'll be there. And also, they're honoring the memory of late Weymouth Police Officer Sergeant Michael Chesna, died on the line of duty last month. They're having a Memorial Cup for him. That's an 8-man single elimination tournament. And part of that card, our good friend, the Greek Freak, Ilya. He'll be.
No, he's my good friend. He doesn't know who you are.
Are you kidding me? Ilya and I talk all the time. We do drinks all the time. He is a fine Greek American.
That feels like a lie, but I'll go with it.
Yeah, well, you know, that's how I roll. So, yeah, Ilya will be
Let's
there.
Let's see. If I call him now, will he verify this?
Like, who's this? Never heard of you. Never heard of you. Now the other one, two things coming up, September 14th.
Oh, so this is three things.
Yeah, well, this is part two.
Okay.
14th and 15th, the Top Rope promotion, New World Order, coming to Lowell, Massachusetts on Friday, the 14th of September, the Lasher Park, home of the Lowell Spinners. You'll also see Tito Santana on Tony Atlas there. And the following night, same deal again, September 15th, they'll be down in the City of Champions, Brockton, Campanelli Stadium, home of the Brockton Rocks. And you know what, Jimmy? Shameless plug. I used to do the PA announcing for both of those teams, the Rocks and the Spinners. So, see the home of where I was once.
So, are you going and you're getting us front row tickets?
You pick the show or the venue and we'll make it happen. Let's go.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll do it.
All right.
Maybe we'll bring the Wong Father, too. What do you say?
Eh, we'll see.
Oh! I hope you hear me. Okay. Hello, Andy.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
So are you seriously going to those shows?
I think we should talk about it. Let's do it.
Okay. We'll talk about it. Anything else in closing, Mike?
Check us out, WrestleCast, at WrestleCast985 on Twitter, at Sarge985 on Twitter, blue check mark. SummerSlam, I give it an overall B+ for this week, for the whole pay-per-view. And NXT, though, that is the real deal. Everyone's talking about the takeover, and just I'm really excited to see the next takeover in L.A. in November.
He is now the unmuted Mike Riley.
Yep.
I am James Stewart, and we will talk to you next time. And remember, whatever you do, do it with flair.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
The Sports Hub On Demand content is brought to you by Miller Lite. Tip off every Celtics game all season long with a great-tasting ice-cold Miller Lite, the original light beer. Miller Lite, official partner of the 17-time world champion Boston Celtics. When it's game time, it's Miller time, Celtics fans.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.